The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number three, our third and final live right here on this Monday to start off a new week on the early line. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. You see this smile? You know why this smile is here? Because college football will be played this week. Sure, it's week zero. Sure, it's only four games that incorporate even a single FBS program. Yes, Florida State and Georgia Tech over in Dublin is the highlight. It is not the most robust, even week zero slate that we have ever seen, but it's college football, and that's a beautiful thing. I can already guarantee you what my wardrobe is going to look like, DRS, on Friday. My college football period shirt is going to be under the jacket.
Yeah, you know what? We're looking forward to it here. I don't know how much excitement we're going to get out of it, but it just feels like the opening of a new season. It just appears on your television, and you get excited and get ready. It's like preseason football. It's like, hey, look, preseason football is here. You sort of dip in, dip out. Are there any national championship implications that are going to come from this weekend? Probably not, but questions might be answered, like should Florida State have been dropped to Division II after their embarrassing performance last year to end the season? Like, those are the questions we might have to answer after week zero. So maybe I'm getting myself talked into this just a little bit more to maybe have a hate watch on Florida State, Georgia Tech. You never know, man. It's different ways you can get involved. Yeah.
We'll talk about the Noles in just a little bit and show you what that week zero line is as we get ready to head across the pond to Dublin for the debut of 2024 in the college football season. But you're already grinding my gears, which is a good thing, by the way. We welcome those conversations throughout a college football season. Yeah. But we've got college football, actual college football, played this Saturday. Then the week after, we will have all of the country getting underway. Week number one, a wonderful Thursday night slate. We're looking at you, Colorado and North Dakota State, Minnesota, North Carolina on that opening Thursday as well. Then the rest of the week, Labor Day weekend. And then following, welcome to the National Football League in the regular season. Week two of the preseason in the books. One more weekend of preseason action. Training camp comes to a close. The roster decisions that are difficult must be made. And then it's game week in the National Football League. You should just be excited for football. But if you really had to choose right here, right now, what would it be, college or the NFL? That was our question to all of you in Fade the Public. And again, I must say, it is insane to see at Sports Grid on Twitter, just anything involving a football poll for Fade the Public brings along so many more votes than anything otherwise. Basketball, baseball, golf, it does not matter. Football is always king. More than 280 votes early on this Monday morning. Which are you more excited for? College football, the National Football League, or neither? I'm just going to say this. The NFL is winning the poll more than 55%. College football not all that far behind at 42% of the votes. I'm just proud of the public. Less than 3% selecting neither. There's a lot of people that like to play the heel, my co-host included. I'm glad that nobody in this Fade the Public poll, or not many people at least in this Fade the Public poll, out of nearly 300 votes selected neither.
Yeah, by the way, and I guess like my wife now must be following the Sports Grid Network because I know she was pounding the thing for neither right there, 2.8%, yeah. And she doesn't like football. Yeah. But also, that could lead, she might be betting than saying, yes, I'll vote for NFL football because my husband will be out of the house much more and I can sort of relax around the house. So I'm sort of torn which way she actually voted at this point. But seeing the overall standings themselves, it's no surprise the NFL's got 55%. If you asked this question last year, I think it might be more NFL than college football because I've told Ben many times, sure. And anybody that will listen, this year is going to be the single best college football game, excuse me, college football season in the history of the sport for how many games are going to have an impact down the stretch that means something that in the past meant absolutely nothing. So I do think there is much more excitement for college football this year than in the past 5, 10, 15, or 20 years because of every team having chances technically to get in. Hey, look, Florida State plays right. Georgia Tech week number one. Florida State gets upset 17-16. In the past, oh no, right. They're out of it. No, they're not, Florida State. You're still in it here with a legitimate chance to not only win the ACC, but still get into the college football playoff. That's where I believe 42% is coming from because it's going to be a great season. But it is hard to knock off the NFL because every year, typically, Ben, the NFL's king.
Yeah, and that really is what it is, right? Change can be difficult for people, so I'm glad to see the enthusiasm and the excitement for the new landscape with so many question marks out there in college football. But with uncertainty comes excitement and maybe chaos, some of the reasons that we love college football each and every fall. The NFL is always king. Donnie, a lot of times our bosses here at the Sports Grid Network will show us what people are betting on. Not just the public votes, but the public bets. The NFL runs away with the pie. Out of 100%, the NFL has like 76% of the general public betting when all sports are in action. College football second. And even those other big professional sports leagues, the NBA, MLB, the NHL, really trail in comparison, at least to football. So the fact the votes are stacked up this way is an exciting thing for me, a college football fan first and foremost, but still, of course, love and adore all that comes with an NFL season. So that is great. I also wonder if both leagues started at the same time, if we had both the NFL and college football even starting within a week of each other, or we ask this question next week or maybe following Labor Day weekend, what the votes would be as we get ready for the NFL regular season. That's still with a week left of preseason, still feels a bit away. But more than anything, Donnie, let's go back to the mental pretzel you put yourself in, bringing up your wife, her votes, and then what she actually might have voted for the National Football League to get old DRS out of the house. Is it safe to say that unlike you, your wife's favorite day of her life was not the Eagles winning Super Bowl 52?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe it was me taking a job with the Sports Grid Network and happened to be on the road on Sundays, so maybe the wife and the kid can relax, get some shopping done, don't have to pay attention over here in the streets. But yes, like, and that's the next one we're more excited for in your lifetime. That should be the next one here. It's like, was it a college football win? Was it a professional win? What is it, a marriage? Yeah. Was it a kid that you have? We get some interesting results. Sure. But I do like neither 2.8%. Is that just like a soccer fan or is that just like a hockey fan tuning in? Like, I don't like either one of these. Like, if you're just asking a football fan, like, I don't know anybody who would put neither. Right. Like, I'm not excited for either one, but I like the sport. Like, yeah, like, what actually has come into that? Bare knuckle fighting there? Is that what they like? Neither? No, that's what I'm looking forward to, the next bare knuckle fight. Like, what is it? You know?
BKFC. We love it here on the Spiz Grizz Network. You would have to assume, Donnie, just given the fact we do everything through the betting odds component, and with where the NFL and really football in large part is from a public betting perspective, 95%, probably more than that, 97.5%, 98% of a Sports Grid Network following loves football. So maybe it's just that 2% that football is not their favorite. Maybe it was, I don't know, somebody being like, nah, can't wait for the NBA to come back. I can't wait for October. Or maybe we have some big soccer fans out there. Maybe some big golf fans down the stretch. Put it with the golf. Joe Lisi getting involved. I don't really know, Donnie, but I'm just glad to see it wasn't more. Because I think any time you can allow people to just be contradictory and play the heel, they will choose to do so. I thought maybe we get 5-6%. To see less than 3%, I'm proud of the public.
Yeah, exactly. We like football. We're ready for football. We're amped up and ready to go. And it's a question that's also interesting, as you said. In the past, Ben, growing up for me, the NFL used to play on Labor Day weekend. That was usually a big thing here, but rightfully so, they pushed it back. And it made sense to do that, particularly some of the East Coast teams. It's the reason why the Philadelphia Eagles a lot of times don't play, you know, they're going to play this weekend, but many times they played in the past Thursday night football games because the crowd likes to go down the shore as opposed to being up here. Just better for business at this point. But if they were both starting at the same time, it would have been interesting to see what this poll actually was. You're right.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think the NFL would even take a more substantial lead. Yep. But in a week that college football will be played, the hype is there. The Dublin debut next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A college football game will be played this week. In fact, four, featuring an FBS school on Saturday. It is week zero. It is not as great of a week zero slate around CFB as we have seen even to start the last few seasons in the sport, but it is still college football. This is the week of August 19th, 2024. A college football game will be played each and every week for the next 23 consecutive weeks until the week that begins on January 27th, 2025. The new and expanded college football playoff, a national title game 22 weeks from tonight on Monday, January 20th. It is the largest college football season we have ever seen. It is the longest. It has so many sweeping changes across the climate and the landscape, and it starts on Saturday in Ireland. How is your preseason magazine reading going, my friend?
Yeah, just taking a look. More like getting eyes on the prize, which means this weekend having these magazines sort of come to life. Like, oh, this guy is returning. This guy's going to be a new wide receiver. Who's trying to break in as that starting running back here? Because there are so many things they have to worry about. Now, through later in the week, I was looking at the FanDuel Sportsbook this morning. Not very many player props out, including that Florida State-Georgia Tech game. But it's always intriguing to me. We never quite know the scenarios that will play out. Heavy run, heavy pass, starting quarterback that's going to play, and even starting running backs down the list. So it's always fun to see these first couple games. So, okay, I've been reading about these players all offseason. Let's see them go out there and produce. Because for my money, Georgia Tech, starting quarterback coming back, starting running back coming back, that's fine. But Florida State, even though they're expected to be a good football team, we haven't seen a lot of these kids in that starting role just yet.
Yeah, it's going to be a different FSU team. There was so much regression and change and turnover, as was represented in the Orange Bowl, where a lot of the guys that left for the National Football League did not play. Now that's the story for FSU. But a familiar name in ACC country and around college football is going to be the starting quarterback. That's DJ Uiagalelei for FSU. Now transferring back to the ACC after a few seasons at Oregon State, or at least 1 year at Oregon State after he started his college career at Clemson. Roydell Williams, talented back for Alabama a season ago, is in the backfield. No rushing props out just yet. We'll talk about that in our breakdown. But let's give you the early line here on the early lines for the ACC opener in Ireland between 10th-ranked Florida State and Georgia Tech. Line was 12.5 just last week, working back to the Yellow Jackets ever so slightly, but still in double digits. 11.5 points in favor of the Noles. The over-under, as you see there, for the Irish opener, 55 and a hook. As Donnie mentioned, Haynes King, starting quarterback in Atlanta, is back for Georgia Tech. A team under Brent Key, who took over as the interim in 2022 and went 4-4, who reached a bowl game a season ago, has been pretty darn good. And Donnie, great as an underdog a season ago. 7-2 against the spread as an underdog were the Jackets. They'll look to ride that momentum to the start of 2024 in Dublin.
Also, and you take a look at these two football teams, the last time they took the field, Florida State didn't even show up for the bowl game against Georgia, who, quite frankly, Georgia had nothing to play for and wiped the map with them. But if we're looking forward to something sort of a springboard, which a lot of teams use in their bowl games, you had a victory last year over UCF for Georgia Tech that sort of got that all season going. And if there is something to be said about returning starters back, you take a look at, you know, a couple decent players coming back from Georgia Tech, but it always starts with the quarterback. Comfortability in the pocket, had a decent season last year. How can you extend it with another offseason this year? That's what I'm looking forward to. So I do agree with the line movement from 12.5 to 11.5. But the one thing that we can't measure, DJ Uiagalelei coming over, we know he's a good quarterback. He's been around the block. That's a veteran presence here. And the reason why he went from Clemson to Oregon State was, look, it's not working out at Clemson. Like, I just can't, like, pass the football that well. He actually was a pretty good passer at Oregon State. And if that transfers over to Florida State, you know that offense is going to be able to move the football. And also that angle of, we got embarrassed in that last game. Let's go out and show it was just the players that left and not the downfall of a program. So expecting a big performance out of Florida State. But I'd said, as I said, I do agree. The 12.5 at FanDuel down to the 11.5. I do think that makes a lot of sense here. Look, I don't really know too much about these teams until I watch them actually play. But if I'm going to lean towards the points, it's probably going to be me with Georgia Tech in this one.
Yeah, so here's where I'm going to look from the betting perspective. I think Florida State makes a statement to start the year. It is not the downfall of a program because of the 60-point blowout in the Orange Bowl. A lot of people will look to what FSU did after they felt, and I believe rightfully so, were left out of the college football playoff. Florida State has won double-digit games now under Mike Norvell. At a point, he was a little bit on a warm seat in Tallahassee. He has reinvigorated this program. The favorites to win the ACC, ranked in the top 10 to start ACC season in the AP preseason poll, and a team that I believe is going to win the ACC and reach the college football playoff this year in the first year of 12. Again, I believe in Georgia Tech. They are going to be a thorn in the side of many ACC foes throughout this year. 6.5 the win total for the Yellow Jackets, expected to flirt with bowl eligibility for a second straight year. But Georgia Tech, I don't believe, is of the caliber of Florida State. And I know that year over year, offseason to offseason, getting ready for a new season, you have to make those adjustments. And I believe they will on the defensive side of the football. But Georgia Tech was one of the five worst rushing defenses in all of the sport at the FBS level next year. Again, when the props come out, Roydell Williams, the transfer running back from Alabama, will be an area I look to go over a rushing yards prop to start off this season.
Yeah, it makes sense. And also from those first games here, it's going to be more of an aerial attack. And also, if the game was played in Florida, what are we looking at, Ben? 85 to 90 degree temperatures over there in Dublin will be in the 60s, so a little bit cooler weather. And both of these teams sort of outside of their environment, but still playing an ACC football game. There's going to be no, let's just say the crowd is going to be too loud. I can't hear myself, which usually lends it to a little bit better offensive performance, because theoretically nobody is really the away team here getting all that much noise from a certain direction. It'll be fun to watch it play out. Two marquee teams per se, because they're in the ACC, and we'll see how it works out. But at least it's not a 27.5-point spread like you see from SMU and Nevada. This one should be a good one, and it's the first one of the day, which is always nice.
Three ACC teams in action. The SMU Mustangs, now SMU, a member of the Atlantic Coast Conference. Nevada has won only two games each of the past 2 years, and we're all staying up till midnight. Hawaii and Delaware State as well out on the islands. More on the early line up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the early line, let's start off a new week with some baseball breakdowns here on Sports Grid. From the mind of one Donnie Wrightside, two wild card teams as of this time in their respective leagues. San Diego in the top spot and the National League wild card standings. Minnesota in the second spot, but firmly in two in terms of the American League wild card standings. And both teams have an outside chance of maybe contending for a divisional crown. The Padres three games games back of the Dodgers in the National League West. The Twins making up some ground on the Guardians in the American League Central, only two-game difference. Game number one of their midweek set tonight out in Southern California. San Diego, a minus 156 home money line favorite, total of seven. Zebby Matthews made his MLB debut last week. Looked pretty solid for the young rook. And if you're wondering why San Diego might be a dollar and a half favorite at home against a good Twins team on the other side, it's because Michael King has been sensational here this summer for the Padres. They're a minus 156 home money line favorite.
And they should be the favorite, and they should be about a dollar and a half. That's priced appropriately here. Zebby Matthews, the one good thing is here, he is a young rookie they have high expectations for, and the Padres haven't seen him live just yet. They'll get a picture of him tonight. Struggled a little bit with left-handed batters last go-around, but was very good against right-handed batters. You'll get some of that. The one thing that you do like about the Padres over the past month in Major League Baseball, that lineup 1-9 has done extremely well against right-handed pitching. Outside of Jake Cronenworth, everybody's weighted on base percentage is elevated. That should help you out. But if we are just taking a look at the pitching matchup itself, Michael King, last 30 days of Major League Baseball, which included 93 batters he's faced, an 057 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 223. If you give it to lefties, he's faced 62 left-handed batters, a zero ISO power number. And you know me, I like that Minnesota Twins lineup, but tonight, the better pitcher and the better lineup both reside here with San Diego. A little bit of home cooking for them. I think they handle their business. I'd be willing to pay about that dollar and a half price for them to do so.
Again, when you look at San Diego, same story for the Diamondbacks as well. Both teams were scorching red hot since the All-Star break, both taking a small step back this weekend, but still both teams very comfortable in where they stand from a postseason contention standpoint. The Padres lost yesterday in the Mile High City to the Rockies. Colorado taking the rubber match and the weekend set. The Padres entered before this weekend got started, having won at least 10 of their last 11 games. So let's go around Major League Baseball elsewhere on this Monday. And now we focus on Arizona. The Diamondbacks on the road in Miami. The D-backs swept this weekend elsewhere in Florida by the Rays, hoping to turn things around. A $2 favorite against the Fish. Will Arizona bounce back?
I think they do. And also, just taking a look at some of these updated pitching matchups, Aller's on the mound. I believe he came over from the Oakland Athletics. And if I remember correctly, he was a terrible pitcher with Oakland. And also, you're at the point now in the Marlins schedule, not really cared about wins here. They don't want to burn some of their best prospects. So let me just take a look at some of his old action. Look, 2024 for Miami. He's only been in Triple A, but he's got an ERA of 2.88, which isn't bad. For Cleveland's Triple A team, he actually had a 7.48 ERA in Triple A this year due to 12 starts. So if you're looking to get back on track for the Arizona Diamondbacks, Fault's the better pitcher than Aller. So this should be a dominating performance by Arizona at the plate. I'll do a little bit more digging later in. But just going back, I do remember him from Oakland. 9 career games he was in, 19 and two-thirds innings pitch, Ben. A 10 ERA and an xFIP number of 6.94. Should be big things here for the Diamondbacks today.
You saw Cato Marte yesterday, not only the Rays walking it off in extra innings to complete the weekend sweep over Arizona. He re-aggravated an ankle injury, did not play 4-3 games, DH'd on Saturday, pinch hit yesterday, and had to leave early. So you're trying to make sure everybody is healthy for the D-backs. They have a 2.5 game lead over Atlanta for the second of those three National League wild card spots. Let's continue going around the Monday card in Major League Baseball. Speaking of the wild card chase, the Mets at home against the O's. New York, a minus 142 favorite. Total of 8.5. What do you like for the opener at Citi Field?
Kind of interesting here. You see the New York Metropolitans as a favorite here, and I tend to agree with it. David Peterson's been actually a solid pitcher this season, and also particularly over the past 30 days with 117 batters faced and ISO against 101 and a weighted on base percentage of 296. But the pressure's going to come here for Trevor Rogers, who is not a great pitcher here, struggling with lefty and righty batters. And also keep in mind, a low strikeout guy. If you're looking for RBI props on your list tonight, Lindor, Vientos, and Alonso should be those three guys for the New York Mets today.
Yeah, I would look there as well. The Mets need it. They did win their weekend set, had an opportunity to sweep the Marlins. Atlanta winning its final two games of its weekend series maintains that two-game lead. The prop perspective with Tom Beck on a Monday next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Monday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. If it is a Monday, it's time for the prop perspective with the jack of all trades, the home run prop king. That is Tom Vecchio here on this Monday on TEL. We'll talk season-long perspectives and props around the National Football League. We'll get you set for this Monday MLB card as well. Vecchio, we appreciate the time. Thanks for being here on Sports Grid.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Super busy time with NFL preseason in full swing, dog days of MLB here. I'm ready to roll.
So let's get it going then, jack of all trades, by looking at what we have seen preseason week number two. Not necessarily what the preseason will mean for any future bets you have or even week-to-week perspectives around the NFL, but let's start with the rookie quarterbacks because we have seen some promise and some flashes. Bo Nix, great once again last night for Denver at home against Green Bay. Six offensive possessions with Nix under center for the Broncos this preseason, all six drives resulting in points. Caleb Williams has looked solid for Chicago. Jaden Daniels, impressive for the Washington Commanders. Drake May, a couple of offensive drives for New England on Thursday. Vecchio, although we have these guys that we project out there as the rookie starting quarterbacks, we believe that Caleb's going to start week number one, Jaden week number one, and Bo Nix probably week number one as well. Now, how do you base your expectations for these rookie QBs without a sample size at this level?
Yeah, that's certainly tough to do. A lot of what I look at it also comes down to the play calling, where I think some of these quarterbacks look good, but I'm not overly impressed by any of them. You know, Daniels and Nix look good, but ultimately when we're looking at the stats, as that screen just showed, you know, 8 of 9 for Bo Nix for 80 yards, you know, 15 of 21 for 125. Daniels going 10 of 12 for 78 yards. Like, I know they want to get them in the rhythm of things, but like they need to start opening up the offense. Like I'll truly have more interest in these quarterbacks once they start pushing the ball downfield. You know, going under 10 yards, you know, per completion doesn't impress me, and that needs to increase for these quarterbacks to really be successful. So I'm moderately impressed with what I've seen so far, but until we actually see them push the ball and have like unscripted drives, because these are super scripted drives of what they've been doing in preseason, until things don't go according to plan and the quarterbacks have to then react to that, then we'll have a real judge on how good they're going to be.
And also these young quarterbacks going up against a first-rate defense that's trying to scheme against them should be interesting to watch. Right. Outside of the quarterback realm, Marvin Harrison Jr., you also have Malik Nabers and Xavier Worthy, who might be able to show up on that radar for being the NFL Rookies of the Year. If we're looking at that Rookie of the Year market, outside of the quarterbacks themselves, do you have a guy that possibly could win it that's a non-quarterback, Tom, that you might be looking at here?
It might be Worthy. I think Malik Nabers is an awesome talent. I just don't trust the Giants offense in any capacity. Marvin Harrison, if you could get that, if that number drops to like 8 or 9 to 1 after the first maybe week or two of the season, you know, sign me up for that. But Xavier Worthy at 19 to 1, we know that Brown isn't healthy right now. I don't expect Rice to be suspended. At least that's what the reports are suggesting because the investigation isn't concluded. But, you know, Worthy at 19 to 1, you know, you're essentially getting some indirect exposure to Mahomes having a great year, and we're never getting Mahomes at like anything for 19 to 1. Like, he's always going to be 7 to 1 to lead the league in yards, lead the league, MVP, whatever it is. So give me a wide receiver for Rookie of the Year, which we've seen a couple times over the past few years with Garrett Wilson a couple years ago.
Xavier Worthy looked great on Saturday for KC, 62 receiving yards, a touchdown, ran it once for 11 yards as well. The speedster out of Texas should thrive in this Chiefs offense with Patrick Mahomes delivering him the football. And to Tom's point about quarterbacks, yes, Caleb Williams is the favorite. Yes, CJ Stroud ran away with the award by week 8 last year to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. But in the last decade, the last 10 winners of the Offensive Rookie of the Year award, only four have played the quarterback position. It is not necessarily just a quarterback award like we see with many in the sport of football. But each and every week for the past few Mondays, Tom Vecchio has been here living up to the jack of all trades nomer to give you not only some MLB plays on the daily basis, but of course a look at some season-long yardage props that he likes in the National Football League. Today it's a tight end in Western New York. Vecchio, what's the play and what do you like?
Yeah, that's going to Dalton Kincaid for the Buffalo Bills, over 750.5 receiving yards. And the Bills offense this year is going to look a little bit different than what we've seen over the past few years. Steph Diggs is gone. Gabe Davis is gone. Looking back to last year, Kincaid had the second most targets, second most receptions, and the third most yards. And yeah, they drafted Keon Coleman, and I think he's a great talent, right? I'm super high on him, but he's still a rookie. You know, Khalil Shakir is good. Curtis Samuel, MVS, like these are all okay options and I think can be maybe viable on a potentially week-to-week basis, specifically Khalil Shakir. But this is the time for Kincaid to step up and be a true number one target for Josh Allen. And realistically, Allen's going to throw for 4,000 yards again. So it's not as if I'm low on Coleman having a bad year. I think he's going to have a fine year. But Kincaid is really in a spot to be that consistent option week in and week out for Josh Allen. So give me over 750 yards. I think he's going to be one of the top fantasy tight ends in the league as well.
Yeah, to have some fun there. Josh Allen still looking to have a big year as the favorites out there in the AFC. One of those teams possibly could surprise. Hey, maybe it's the Buffalo Bills this season. Let's get over to Major League Baseball out on the West Coast. 9:40 start Eastern tonight. That's Minnesota and San Diego. Zebby Matthews, his second start in Major League Baseball, going up against Michael King, who's been nothing short of sensational over the past month. A favorite here for San Diego at a -156 price and a total dropping from 7.5 to 7 now. And he looks today for the Twins and the San Diego Padres.
Yeah, let's go to Luis Arraez for 2+ total bases at +100. Like you said, this is the second career start for Matthews. We got to look back at what he has done this season. He was in high A earlier this season, then double A, then triple A. Yeah, he can strike out hitters, but an insanely small sample size. So I'll take literally one of the best hitters in the league, Arraez, for 2+ total bases. This is not a power thing. This is simply him getting on the base. Right? He has a 2.6% strikeout rate versus righties, which is insanely low. He's got a 112 WRC plus. He's got 326 BABIP. So give me the lefty-righty split for Arraez. Get on base versus a pitcher who was in high A earlier this season and has 5 innings pitched at the major league level.
Yeah, I like that look, of course, Vecchio, there. San Diego had won 10 of their last 11 games before their weekend set against the Rockies. They lost the weekend to Colorado, hoping to bounce back at home. The Diamondbacks had also won 10 of their last 11, including 6 in a row, entering their weekend in Florida against the Rays. Tampa pulled off the sweep at the Trop. Arizona looking for better results now in Miami against the Marlins. The D-backs, a hefty favorite. What's the play between the Fish and the Snakes?
For this one, I think Brandon, who's going to be on the mound for Arizona and Miami? I didn't see them. Brandon Fodd is going to be on the mound for Arizona. I didn't see a listed pitcher for Miami. So ultimately, that's going to come down. So if, I would go to Lourdes Gurriel for a prop or Corbin Carroll. They need to right the ship. This is a bad stretch of games that they've had. They were super hot coming out of the All-Star break. So depending on who the pitcher is for Miami, give me a Lourdes Gurriel total base prop, Corbin Carroll prop, maybe a strikeout prop for Brandon Pha, and we'll go from there. But need to dig into some of the specifics once the pitchers actually get listed as official.
7:10 p.m. tonight, heading up to Citi Field in Queens. That's going to be the Baltimore Orioles and the New York Mets. It's Rogers versus Peterson, the battle of lefties here. Favorite for the Mets, how about this? Overnight, 134 is the price. Now it's up to -142, an 8.5 total. Baltimore and New York for you, Tom. What do you got?
Peterson's been good, but it's got to be under 4.5 strikeouts at +128. He has an 18.2% strikeout rate this season. The league average is 22.4. His walk rate is at 11%, and the league average is 8.2. He is a below-average pitcher. That is just a fact. Baltimore, they have a ton of power. They're slightly worse than the league average at 22.3% strikeout rate versus lefties. That's 13th in the league. So I'm not expecting like massive things from Peterson when we know Baltimore is just a powerful lineup overall, and he's not a big strikeout pitcher. That's just a fact.
It is really interesting to just see the Mets as that strong of a favorite at home against one of the two best teams in the American League. New York, a tough draw to start off this week, but the Mets need to win games to keep pace with Atlanta in the National League wild card chase. Vecchio, as always, we appreciate the time. Thank you for being here on this Monday.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Plenty more MLB breakdowns and best bets up next with Donnie and myself here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A 10-game slate on this Monday around Major League Baseball. And now here we are, less than 40 games for every team around the sport. If you're going to make that final push to the postseason, it has to start now. And if you're playing the Chicago White Sox, you have to win each and every night. The Giants at home by the Bay today, a minus 225 favorite against the White Sox, total of 7.5. San Francisco not out of it, DRS. Chicago has been eliminated. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But even from the theoretical perspective of truly being in the hunt, the Giants and even 500, 63-63, four games back of Atlanta for the third and final National League wild card spot. Added motivation tonight to take care of business against baseball's worst team.
Yeah, let's forget about the Giants and how they would do at the plate against Jonathan Cannon, who's not a great pitcher here, right? They should be okay. But let's focus more about that Chicago White Sox lineup that we're going to get. Kyle Harrison's a left-handed pitcher, will be on the mound tonight for the San Francisco Giants. His last 83 batters that he's faced, he's got a 257 ISO against, which means right-handed batters are absolutely clubbing him to the tune of an ISO power number of 317 and a weighted on-base percentage of 378. Boy, sign me up here on the Chicago White Sox. Not so fast, people. Remove Andrew Benintendi, who is a left-handed batter with a 211 ISO and a weighted on-base percentage of 318. Let's just take a look at the last month, the Chicago White Sox going up against left-handed pitching. And we use ISO power numbers. You say, Donnie, what is isolated power actually? Removes the single and grades you on doubles, triples, and home runs. Effectively, which team is cracking the whip against some of these pitchers? Well, zero typically is a bad number throughout any sport here. And again, if we remove Benintendi, let's go over the roster today over the past 30 days against left-handed pitching for the White Sox. Lopez, zero. Robert, zero. Vaughn, 091. Lee, zero. Vargas, zero. Sosa, zero. Jolks, zero. Baldwin, impressive, 071. So I don't know where any offense is coming whatsoever from Chicago. Yeah. Like, isn't this been the ultimate dynamic? One pitcher who can't get right-handed batters out. You're going to have a stacked lineup with primarily right-handed batters that none of them can hit left-handed pitching. This one should be a barn burner out there in San Francisco.
3.5 is the White Sox team total. The under has the hefty juice at minus 154, if that's the angle you would like to look. Again, the White Sox eliminated this weekend on Saturday night from playoff contention. It is the earliest a team has been eliminated from playoff contention in Major League Baseball since 1969. That was the start of the division era around MLB. That wonderful stat coming to us from our stat man. That's Joe Friso, our producer here on the Early Line. Let's go late night out in Los Angeles. The Dodgers, a home favorite against the Seattle Mariners, minus 136 in favor of LA. The Dodgers taking the rubber match yesterday in St. Louis. The Mariners lost this weekend set entering this week at Chavez Ravine. Over under has dropped by the hook. It's now at 8. What's the play in LA?
I actually think it should be dropping there. You take a look at Brian Wu entering the season here. 285 batters. He's facing 080 ISO against and a weighted on base percentage of 227. That's spectacular. Now let's fast forward and go over just the last 30 days, which includes 115 batters he's faced. That 080 drops to an 071. That weighted on base percentage to start, 227, drops down to a 209. He's been really, really good, including getting those strikeout props to be a little bit higher. Of course, Otani, Betts, Teoscar Hernandez, Lux, all on fire against right-handed pitching over the past 30 days, but he might be able to quiet some of those bats. Gavin Stone, if we're just looking at those numbers, ISO power number, weighted on base percentages, again, so last 30 days haven't been kind to Gavin Stone. 89 batters he's faced over the past month, a 310 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 414 against here. I'm going to go with the Seattle Mariners on the road as a slight underdog price against the Dodgers. I think they might have the better pitcher on the mound. The only question is, hey, look, Randy Rosarena is back in the lineup, so they probably get shut out. Yesterday, finally waking up at the plate, but their numbers do look decent against right-handed pitching, and the better pitcher today is from the Mariners' perspective. I'll go with the short dog price on the M's.
Listen, the M's yesterday, finally off the mat from an offensive perspective, from a win perspective, 10-3, the victory to avoid a sweep in the series finale on the road in PNC Park against Pittsburgh. They were swept by Detroit in the midweek. They lost 2 of 3 against the Pirates. Yesterday ended a 5-game skid. They're now 4 games back as the Astros are surging, winners of 10 of their last 11 in the American League West. Seattle hasn't been abysmal, but they're just 12-15 since the All-Star break. And yes, it is no surprise that when you win baseball games, you score more runs. That makes a ton of sense. But when you look at the Mariners, now last 9 losses, if they lose a game, they score at most 2 runs. That's not great. Sure, you're not going to win many shootouts at all times if you're giving up 7 or 8 runs on the other side, but just 2 runs or less in their last 9 losses. So, 4-game difference now. Houston in front in the American League West. This is a really good matchup this week in H-Town between the Astros and the Red Sox. Boston, 3.5 games back of the third and final American League wildcard spot that KC occupies. Houston, 4-game lead in the AL West, -132. The Astros favorite at home today. Yusei Kikuchi. The Astros have won all 3 of his starts since being acquired at the trade deadline. Will it be a perfect 4-for-4?
Yeah, Boston's seen a lot of him, obviously, from him being in the AL East, but now going down to Houston. He's been a very good pitcher, particularly over the past 30 days. However, that Boston Red Sox lineup, 1-8, we leave out the 9th batter, Rafaela, who doesn't have great statistics against lefties. Everybody's weighted on base percentage and ISO power numbers for that batter are elevated here. So that's an interesting number to look at. If we go from the Houston bats, Tanner Houck, probably you could say he's the best pitcher overall on the season here for the Boston Red Sox, leaking a little bit of oil over the past 30 days in his last 134 batters. But also, those weighted on base percentages against right-handed pitching for the Astros is elevated. So typically, if you take a look at 2 good pitchers, it is a hitter's ballpark. I'm actually going to go against the grain here. That 8.5, I'm going to go to the over. I think these bats are going to show up tonight in Houston enough to get 9 runs here. So a little contrarian play for this one.
Framber Valdez has been great. Yusei Kikuchi has been really good in Houston. Again, the Astros have won all 3 of the starts that he has made. Seth Lugo used to only win. Now he's lost 5 of his last 7 starts. Quickly here, DRS, before you go, Royals, Angels today at Kauffman. What's the play?
Keep it simple. Carson Fulmer really struggles with left-handed batters. 2 guys in the lineup I like, Vinny Pasquantino and MJ Melendez, with a legitimate chance to get RBI. I think that makes the most sense tonight without paying maybe a heavy price here on Kansas City at -200 or better at home. Goodness.
Seth Lugo been struggling. He needs to bounce back an opportunity tonight at home. DRS, enjoy the money line. We'll talk tomorrow, my friend. The early line rounds out on this Monday. Up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here to round out this Monday on the early line on Sports Grid, I am Ben Stevens, and I am very excited because as of this Monday, August 19th, 2024, a college football game will be played this week. Saturday, week 0, the 2024 college football season officially gets underway. We have college football starting this week and for the next 23 weeks. Yes, it's a week 0 slate. No, it is not illustrious. But is it exciting? Is it college football? You bet your bottom dollar it is. We'll have plenty more around week 0 throughout this week to get you set for the Dublin debut, the ACC kickoff between Florida State and Georgia Tech a little bit later on. But it's also an interesting time because when you have college football games, fall camp really wrapping up this week around programs around this country. Because really, starting in a few days, teams are going to focus solely on week number 1, game preparation game week. And it's not often that Boise State deciding who its starting quarterback is going to be would become national news and headlines. That's not a shot at Boise State's football program, a powerhouse in the Mountain West and out in that portion of the country. But it's not necessarily like breaking news every time Boise State names a starting quarterback. Except this one was. Late yesterday afternoon, Pete Thamel of ESPN reporting that Maddox Madsen was named the starting quarterback by Spencer Danielson, first-year head coach for Boise State, at the quarterback position. Okay, Maddox Madsen, starting quarterback, has a little bit of experience, started a few games last year before injuries sidelined him, and Taylen Green, who then transferred to Arkansas this offseason, should be the starter for the Hogs, took over for Boise State, propelling them under their interim head coach Spencer Danielson to a Mountain West title. We'll talk about the Broncos' outlook in just a moment. But Maddox Madsen, some experience, 10 career games played and appearances for Boise State. But the reason this was big news is Maddox Madsen won the starting quarterback job, which was shocking, after another shocking development earlier in the offseason, Malachi Nelson transferring from USC to Boise State. Malachi Nelson, one of the best 15 recruits in the country in the 2023 class, the sixth highest ranked quarterback recruit in a stacked class according to 24/7 Sports that originally committed to USC, was supposed to be the guy to take the mantle after Caleb Williams. Well, Miller Moss, the starting quarterback at Southern Cal, and Malachi Nelson hit the transfer portal. All right. Guy that was one of the highest-ranked quarterback recruits goes to Boise State. He's going to propel this Broncos program forward in a large way. Didn't happen. For what exact reason? Who's to say? But maybe there is a common thread as to why he had to transfer from USC and lost out on the starting job in a QB competition to Maddox Madsen. If you remember our College Football Today summer special around the 4th of July holiday weekend, Joe Lisi and I were there talking about the best group of five contenders for one of those college football playoff spots to try to earn that automatic berth as one of the five highest ranked conference champions around the country. My focus solely on Boise State. Part of that promise, Malachi Nelson. And the outstanding running back, who is a dual threat also in the receiving game, Ashton Jeanty, for the Broncos. So for Maddox Madsen to win the job, does that hamper my optimism around Boise? Not necessarily so. I think it speaks more to Malachi Nelson than the overall outlook for Boise State this year. So Malachi Nelson loses out on the job, what his future is at Boise State or in this program or in college football might be one to question. He could be one of those guys that as he transfers to another program, if that is the decision, and I'm just speculating here, we look back on the idea of promise for Nelson more than an actual production. Boise State remains the odds-on favorite at minus 125 to win the Mountain West. They won the conference championship a year ago under Spencer Danielson after Andy Avalos, who was the head coach, got canned midway through the year. I still expect Boise State to win a Mountain West title and be a college football playoff contender, even with Maddox Madsen under center for the Broncos this year. Again, there's going to be so much college football conversation this week. I can hardly wait. But anytime we got a squad play here on the early line, we need to share it with you. Joe Friso is a lot of things. The producer who does it all here on the early line each and every day. The stat man that gives us a great bit of research that you see each and every day. And our tennis aficionado. Cincinnati final. As everybody gets ready for the final Grand Slam of the year at the U.S. Open, Francis Tiafoe in the upset over Jannik Sinner tonight, plus 280. Lay down a wager. The early line returns tomorrow, 8 a.m. Eastern time, here on the grid.